Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Welcome to episode 97 of the Go Get That podcast. Just me and Dan this week. Bob is moving in for college to Arizona, going from Massachusetts to Arizona. So he is not with us this week.
Congrats to Massachusetts.
Yeah, congrats to Massachusetts.
Good luck to Arizona.
Yeah, they're taking in a tough one, to put it lightly. But Dan and I are here. We're here to discuss week one of the playoffs in Memphis at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. Discuss a little bit of the Ryder Cup, which we are getting ever so closer to. I think we're like 6 weeks away. And we got some news yesterday. We're recording this Tuesday night. 2024 PGA Tour schedule coming out. A couple changes there. We'll give some thoughts on if they will not affect Mr. Spieth's schedule going into next year.
Yeah, it's good to be here discussing the FedEx Cup playoffs, the most thrilling, 3 weeks of the PGA Tour season, the race for the FedEx Cup, the ultimate prize, all that good stuff. It's here, finally here. 2 weeks removed from the Open Championship, where Brian Harman walked over the field and Jordan Spieth putted himself backward down the leaderboard. Any thoughts post open that you've had in the last 2 weeks, or has it just been moving on and doing other things in life? Because
yeah,
I have a lot better things to do than watch the 3M and the Wyndham, unless I guess you wanted to see Justin Thomas come up just short, which was thrilling and exciting and kind of entertaining all at once.
Yeah, I didn't watch a second of the 3M, and then I watched like 10 minutes of the Wyndham coming down the stretch, watching JT, seeing if he would get in or not. He obviously finished 71st, so he will not be teeing it up this week. But yeah, I've kind of moved on. To be quite honest, I've moved on to the 2024 season.
Wow.
I'm a little bit done with, I mean, we obviously have this week, and I think he's locked in for next week in Chicago. So, I mean, yeah, we have a couple weeks here, but the expectations are just low. It's sad because I remember, probably a couple months ago saying every week from here on in through the rest of the season, it's win or bust. And now we're back down to not rock bottom, because Jordan Spieth isn't playing. He's not playing that bad. It's just when the standard's a lot higher than where he is at right now. And I'm kind of just aware that, I mean, could he putt well this week? Sure, he's putted well at Memphis historically pretty well. Mm-hmm. But I'm done seeing the missed putts. I mean, it's two straight years in a row of just the putter. I mean, having like three or four good weeks where, he has a chance to win. And then the rest of the time, it's just not even close to being good enough to win. So,
yeah, it's interesting because the putter has been better this year statistically. But 2022 is just so bad that pretty much anything would have been an upgrade over the putter in 2022. You did mention that he has putted well at Southwind. He has, obviously it was a WGC, but he's got two top 12s and four tries here. He did play in 2010, but he was like 17 or something, so I'm gonna not count that one. So it's, we were talking before about Southwind a little bit in terms of TPCs, like, I kind of like it. I know Bob said he hated Southwind, but it's kind of grown on him a little bit. It's not a terrible golf course. It's going to be a lot of birdies, but I think what makes it fun in terms of relative to other TPCs is that you get all the water, right? And you can make a triple pretty easily. And I mean, the tee balls on 12 and 18, water is in play pretty much the entire way on those holes, let alone the tee balls. So, big numbers are out there, and that, makes it fun. And I think it's kind of a fun watch, to be honest.
It's fine. It's actually funny you were mentioning TPC venues, and we were talking about this a little bit before we get on the air here. A TPC venue where the 3M is TPC Twin Cities. I didn't watch anything, but I was looking at Twitter, and a lot of people were, you know, complimenting that golf course. So it just came into my head. Wouldn't mind seeing Spieth there at some point. Don't know if that'll ever happen, but back on to Southwind. It's a fun golf course. I think the players really like it. It's a ball strike. Yeah. I mean, every course is a ball striker's paradise, but I know Justin Ray tweeted out some stats about how it, I mean, more than most venues, is a ball striker's course here. I mean, the names that have won here kind of speak for themselves. A lot of ball strikers win here, which, I mean, the way Jay Spieth has been playing as of late, maybe sort of fits him. His course history here is decent.
Well, I was looking at some numbers, right? And what usually costs him is a bad tee ball on 18 or a bad tee ball on 12. There's OB on 7, I think, that he's hit it into multiple times. But he's been driving it great this year. And I think part of the reason this season has been so disappointing is no win, but also he's hit it great off the tee all year and he hasn't been able to take advantage of it. The iron play's been inconsistent. The wedges weren't great. And then just kind of new swing thoughts for no reason after a T5, because why not? And you kind of end up with weeks where it's a T23, like at the Open. I mean, if you look at his data golf page,
just to go back, a T5 in which he struck the crap out of the golf ball.
He was awesome. The reason he lost the Memorial is because he lost like 3 strokes putting on Saturday. And if he putts average on Saturday, he's tied for the lead going into Sunday. And the lead finishes at 7 under. He would have been at 6 under. He played Sunday and 1 under. It's just like the ball striking was there. The wedges just weren't super dialed, but he just didn't make putt Saturday. Kind of saw the same thing. Yeah. So yeah, change of swing thought going into the U.S. Open, and that'll work great. which it did not. Spoiler alert. And then, you know, the Scottish Open, rusty. Like it looked like, oh, how much, you know, practice he really put in. Came out at the Open, played, hit the ball really well until Saturday. The irons kind of let him down, and then he flushed it on Sunday and just didn't make anything. And his numbers are hilarious because it's like 0.75 across the board, around the green, approach the green, and off the tee, and that's not good enough to win, especially on approach. But the putter was like minus 0.75. That's just like you're giving back everything that you gain around the greens, or everything that you gain, you know, approaching the green, which is mental and has to be unbelievably frustrating. But so we'll see. We'll see. I'm not expecting a whole lot from the putter. It would be nice to see somebody who's played golf the last 2 weeks, has touched a club the last 2 weeks. I know he turned 30. That's new. This will be his first tournament in what hopefully is the decade of Spieth. But that seems very
temporary.
That seems a little far-fetched maybe. But yeah, just be nice to, like, there's no cut, so be nice to be under par every day. I know that's it's, I don't know why that seems like such an ask, but it's like, dude, do you care about winning the FedEx Cup?
I mean, he was out there yesterday on Monday. I'll give him credit. He was out there.
Yes. Beautiful little wedge swing in the PGA Tour video.
I'm hoping he wasn't out there because he didn't spend any other time over those 2 weeks doing absolutely nothing. But
yeah. And I mean, maybe we'll see. I mean, Cam McCormick was busy, so maybe Spieth just didn't hit a ball, because that seems to be how it goes. I you brought that up at the Open, and you know, we talked about McCormick and his role.
That was a great podcast. That was a fun talk.
It was a fun podcast. I really, Man, I mean, because who's the, it's Celine
Boutier.
I hope we're pronouncing that right. But she's just won two in a row overseas.
She's coached by Cam.
And she's a McCormick disciple. I said that right.
Yeah? Disciple.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, clearly Cam knows how to coach. And I think a lot of, you know, this kind of boils back to a lot of the problems with Spieth are just momentum. Like, when he needs a jolt, he never gets a jolt. The short game. Like, can you think of the last time he chipped in?
I was thinking about this earlier, and one came to mind. Memorial, he had the bunker shot that was really nice on 10.
Oh, that's right. And they chipped in Sunday, too, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that was, there was a T5.
Yeah.
And since then, he's played 8 rounds. Granted, look, it, you know, he chips in a lot more than other people do. But I think kind of the point is that if the putter's not going to provide any momentum, the wedge has to.
Yeah.
And if you can't count on your wedge to provide momentum for holding stuff. So we'll see if maybe he gets something going. It'd be nice to see some really good swings early. I don't know how much we're going to see of him early. He's got a pretty good group, actually, that based on the rankings. It's him, Rose, and Sungjae, which I imagine will be featured Friday morning.
I was looking earlier. Let's see. They updated.
Because the groups are so tight, there's only 2 hours. It'll probably be the last, like, 7 holes on Thursday. And Rom, Rory, and Scotty is going to have all the cameras on them. So we'll see how much we get to see. It might be a bit of a tour cast Thursday, but if he plays well, then he'll be on the coverage. But that's banking on Jordan Spieth playing a good round of golf. So
I genuinely don't think Spieth has played a Thursday or Friday round on the PGA Tour this year without being featured. I think every single tournament he's been featured on Thursday and Friday, that's a PGA Tour event.
I would agree.
Which is crazy to think, but...
I mean, you know, the events he's played, what, like Valspar, of course, he's featured.
Yeah.
In Memorial, he was featured. Trying to think of, like, featured at the API, probably.
Yeah. Well, if he would have played better, he would have been featured this week. I assume he's not going to be featured.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance because he's in the afternoon wave. So I my guess is he's featured Friday morning, but there's a chance they just cut his cameras and go to Rory, Rahm, and Scotty when they tee off, which is, I guess, somewhat reasonable because...
I don't think he's in a slot because you know how they're like back-to-back. I don't think he's slotted in one.
Okay.
I think the afternoon ones are probably going to be Xander, Hatton, and Siwoo, and then Finau, Day, and Nick Taylor, maybe? Because Spieth is not—he's not in like one of those back-to-back groups that are like really good.
Yeah.
So
okay, so we'll see. We'll see on that. But decent times. I think he's off. What, he's off? 11:56 a.m. and 9:26 a.m. Thursday, Friday.
Yeah. Speaking of, I think I did my Instagram graphic wrong. I'm just figuring that out. Oh, man, I'm shocked no one yelled at me in the comments. Wow. So, sorry, I just completely realized it in my graphic. I never do that.
Yeah, so decent times. I didn't see when the coverage was. I was just looking at it, too, which is dumb. But my guess is they'll have coverage starting at about noon and going till about 6. Like, it seems like they would want... well, this is dumb. Didn't the app used to have a way to show you?
Yeah, I can. Sorry, I can find it.
Oh, it's they're not available yet. Okay,
that can't be right. Let's see if I can find it. If I go here, it should be under here. Okay, so coverage this week, broadcast schedule, Saturday, Sunday, 1 to 3 on Golf Channel, on Saturday, All Eastern, 3 to 6 on CBS, and then Sunday, 12 to 2 on Golf Channel, and then 2 to 6 on CBS.
Okay, but no Thursday, Friday yet.
Golf Channel, 2 to 6 both days. Eastern.
Okay, that's I guess that's not bad. I guess that's why ESPN Plus has the main feed now. So, yeah, not the greatest coverage this week, but it is kind of what it is, I guess. Play well, you get shown. Don't play well, you don't get shown. No cut, so he'll be there all 4 days.
Whee.
And, yeah, 70 guys this week. We were talking a little bit before about this is kind of the new playoff format. Instead of 125 guys, only down to 70. And these 70 are in, or no, 50 are into all of the signature events this year. So this kind of lead next year, this kind of leads into the new schedule a little bit as well. But the top, if you make the BMW, you're into the signature events next year, which are API,
Pebble,
Genesis, Pebble, and
Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo, Hilton Head,
Travelers,
Memorial, Travelers.
Is that eight?
Yeah.
I hope.
Well, okay. So there's eight events.
Is the Players a signature event?
Could be. So then you're into those, and then there's like ten extra spots and five other spots that'll go to certain guys based on certain rankings or whatever. But basically, so guys like Justin Thomas have finished 71 will probably need sponsors exemptions to get into them unless he plays well during the fall swing or something like that, which he could because he's won a lot on the fall swing. And so I guess before we get into the schedule, because it's kind of leading to it, what are your thoughts on 125 being slashed to 70 for the playoffs?
I love it. I thought 125 was always too much. It's just like playoffs in any other sport, or at least it should be in my mind. It should be tough to make it. You look at the NFL. I mean, the NFL expanded. I don't even like their expansion too much. It used to be 12 of the 32 teams would make the playoffs. I mean, it's crazy. Like, how many guys are on tour? Like 100,
200 some.
200. So you should never have the majority of your players making the playoffs, in my opinion. It should always be. Yeah. I mean, it should be difficult. So, yeah. Well,
especially because there's no, like, tanking. There's no incentive to tank at all. Like, you.
Sometimes I feel Spieth is tanking, to be quite honest.
Oh, yeah, you're not getting an upgrade to equipment if you tank. So you got to play. But, sorry.
You're good. Spieth does tank, but nonetheless. So, yeah, 70's good. It should be tough to make it in. And I mean, as a Spieth fan, we obviously give him a lot of crap, but even like top 70 feels like a walk in the park. But 30 clearly isn't, as you know, Jordan will enter 31st going into beginning the playoffs. And just going back to Memphis real quick, it's kind of important, I would say, that he plays remotely well this week, just because, I mean, next week, Olympia Fields, big boy golf course, really tough.
Yeah.
Not really a course that I envision Jordan playing well on. But who knows? He surprised me. He plays API well, and that's a really tough golf course. Plays Memorial well. But I feel it's vital no matter what that Jordan, you know, have a decent showing this week. Again, like, I'm not at the point where I'm just going to ask for a win. I can't, because I can't expect it. It's unrealistic from what we've seen as of late. But he could easily rip off like a tied for 15th. T12, and that'd be a nice boost to his points, because I mean the last thing I want to do is miss East Lake, even though if he enters East Lake like 28th in the standings, he's gonna have zero chance to win that. But I'd like to see him play with 3 weeks, I'll put it at that. That'd be nice.
Yeah, and you mentioned East Lake, and now I think I remember the final signature event, which is the Century Champions, which is now just a tournament of the top 50 basically. It's like, congrats, you made it to Olympia Fields. You now get a pass to Hawaii. New schedule. It dropped. We mentioned the signature events already. Anything stick out to you really quickly? No cuts, maybe. Where things are placed, sponsorships.
I want to pull it up real quick, so I had a couple. Thoughts. I'm sorry, I'm not prepared.
It is. No, I don't have it in front of me either. Which is funny because
there were a couple things that I thought were interesting related to Mr. Spieth.
I did like, I liked making Pebble. I think everybody is pretty much in agreement on making Pebble a marquee event, at least for next season. Like, you'll get the best players in the world playing one of the most kind of iconic, beautiful golf courses in the world. And you're taking out a round of the Pro-Am / two rounds of the Pro-Am. And the Am is just, it kind of bogs down the how watchable it is on Saturday and Sunday. So it'll be nice to have a good field there. I'm sure AT&T is very happy and Spieth is very proud. But yeah, and then my other big takeaway was no cuts, except for a select few events, right? Like the signature events have a cut or something like that.
I think only like three of them have a cut. I don't.
Okay, yeah, it's something. It's just like I kind of get the idea of having players show up and play four rounds, but I think part of what makes it fun is that there's a cut. Like part of you know, being a professional is losing. And in golf, it seems like the only way you really, really lose is either you kind of bottle it on Sunday or you miss the cut. Otherwise, you're just playing and you're like, you didn't win, but you didn't really lose. Unless your mindset is if you don't win, you lose, which I guess technically is the definition, but you lost with 79 other people or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas missing the cut, it's like, no, that feels like the closest thing to a loss in golf other than you know, kind of losing it on a Sunday or something like that. So that sucks. And
yeah,
missing the cut, you know, that kind of made or broke careers. And I you know, it'll change the betting a lot. Like top 40 bets will be totally different. Top 30 bets, made cuts, missed cuts. Like there's a lot that's going to change. And I think it kind of sucks for some of the bottom guys because those guys who got into the bigger fields and had a great week. I mean, I know Nick Taylor's had a great season, but I don't think many people really saw him playing well at Phoenix this year. And he got to duel with Scotty Scheffler. And there may not be a chance for a guy who's like 95th on the list to have a great week against the Scotty Scheffler in Phoenix or in Houston or whatever it might be. So those things those are disappointing. I understand why they're trying to do it, but it doesn't mean I like it or necessarily agree with it.
Yeah, I'm personally just looking forward to hearing from Jay Monahan in a couple weeks. Tell us how these changes will be good for the fans, even though no fans wanted no cut events. But obviously it's the players' tour, not the fans' tour. So if the players wanted no cuts, they're going to get it, which sucks. But it is what it is. I can't change it at this point. It stinks because, like, if Spieth shoots 74-74, I have no interest in watching him play two rounds where maybe he shoots a low score one day, but he's got no chance to win the golf tournament. So
yeah.
That stinks. Yeah, that's kind of all I have to say on it. It sucks, but just looking at the schedule, there are a couple, you know, changes that I thought were pretty interesting. The Houston Open being moved to the end of March,
mm-hmm.
For Jay Spieth purposes is very, very interesting.
It took the match play spot, didn't it?
It did. So I think there's a decent chance he will be there. I mean, he showed us that he'll skip a Texas event. He skipped Valero last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that'll be happening this year. I think Jordan will be back at Valero. I see unfortunately, I just don't see him skipping two Texas events in a row. I don't see him skipping Houston and Valero back to back going into the Masters. That would be very, very weird. I sadly think Valspar is probably going to be out this year, which sucks. But I think going into the Masters, he'll play Houston, Valero, Masters, and then Heritage four in a row. The Masters being that third event for him has happened quite a few times, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And I don't see him skipping Valero twice in a row. I don't think he necessarily enjoyed skipping a Texas event to begin with, but
He actually missed two Texas events this
Oh yeah,
year.
He missed the Byron too with the wrist injury, which was interesting.
It was, but he'll be back at the Byron next year, barring no injury.
Which is weird, because I remember reading that AT&T wasn't going to be the title sponsor anymore.
I thought so as well.
But it comes out on the schedule release as the AT&T Byron Nelson. So
yeah, which is weird. A little disappointing. But Craig Ranch fans, I'm one. The Craig Ranch fan. We got a much better spot in the schedule this year. I'm pretty sure we're not right before the PGA. It's like two or three events. Isn't the Wells Fargo right before the PGA?
Yes.
So that's the other interesting thing. There is the Heritage is right after the Masters. Fine. That's how it's been. But it is a signature event. So a lot of the bigger names will go. Wells Fargo's right before the PGA. And there is
signature
some talk
as well.
About, right, signature as well. And I think some guys don't necessarily want to play that. And then the big, like, not that they don't want to play Wells Fargo, but they don't want to play the week before a major. And now they're kind of being forced to. And then the other one is the U.S. Open, where it's the Memorial and then the U.S. Open and then the Travelers, which Travelers has always been after the U.S. Open. But to have three events in a row that two of them are signature and one of them's a major, I think you're kind of like telling the guys where they want to go or like where they're going to go, and gives them a little bit less flexibility. And maybe that's good because it gives us fans bigger fields all the time. But then it seems like nobody's going to show up in Canada because they're going to have to play the three after, and some guys maybe want to play the Schwab or whatever it might be. So it seems like a lot of mandatory events, and I call
them
mandatory.
It's less than last year though.
I don't think they're mandatory, but in a row, I guess is what I'm saying. To put them back to back to back, especially, seems a little bit unfair or just not the right thing to do. But again, they do have the Olympics kind of next August as well. So that's a week in the schedule that they just don't have, that they have to kind of work around. So in that sense, maybe some things, I mean, the way it's going right now, who knows what the schedule is going to look like in 2025, but we'll see what those changes are when we get there. The other thing, I guess, one more thing I like about it is there is now an off season. If you make the top 70, your card is very much secure. You don't have to do a ton to get into the signature events next year. If you did not, there's a fall series in which you can play your way into big events for the next year, into your card, things like that. And the FedEx Cup starts clean slate come Kapalua. So everybody's at zero FedEx Cup points come January 1, which I think is the way it should be. But that also means that we will not see Jordan Spieth in the fall because he's just not going to play in the fall. You probably won't see Rory in the States in the fall, Rahm in the States in the fall. So you're kind of losing some big names in the fall events.
He'll be at Hero, but that's not fall, I guess, if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see guys at Hero, but I think it's good that there's an off season, but the trade-off to that is that you don't get guys playing in the off season in theory. Although it could be pretty fun to have a bunch of guys fighting for their spots in these events and their cards and whatnot. So I think that that's pretty cool. And one more thing about kind of the playoffs going down to 70, like JT just missed it.
Lowry.
Adam Scott missed it. Lowry, like you got big names missing the playoffs, and it's kind of like big teams missing the playoffs in other sports. And I think that happens every year. And that's why I kind of like the cutoff going down to 70. I don't know why they chose 70 in specific, but it worked out pretty well this year. So I think it's a good, I like the idea of it, and I think it worked out pretty well this year. And we'll see what next year has kind of in store. But speaking of JT, you mentioned it on the off the top. Ryder Cup coming up soon. Rome, Marco Simeone Golf Club, Italy. I've not been to Italy. Have you been to Italy?
No.
No. It is a cool place, so I've heard. And it's a cool golf course, so I've heard and seen. I'm excited, but I also am a little concerned. Like, I feel like Europe's got all this momentum and the United States does not, partly because the United States doesn't have any putters. But, or at least the United States has a lot of bad putters. But
yes.
Any.
I know one.
Yeah. any broad Ryder Cup thoughts before we get into some of the captain pick stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I've given my thought. I haven't given it on our podcast, but I've given it to our group chat. I've been open about this. I don't think my opinion will change before the Ryder Cup next month. I don't care who Zach Johnson takes, the U.S. is not winning in Rome. That's my take. They don't win over there. And if you look at the current crop of players that Zach Johnson is going to be picking from, there's not easy selections, partially just because there's not. I mean, it's a lot of guys with flaws. And you can even look, I mean, let me be 100% clear here. Jordan Spieth is going to be a captain's pick. And best believe he's got flaws. Yeah. I know Jordan plays well in the Ryder Cup, and I'm looking forward to him playing in Rome. But there are a lot of guys that are going to be captain's picks. I'd have to look. I mean, no offense to like Wyndham Clark or Harmon too, but these guys are inexperienced.
Right.
Harmon's not even going to require a pick, and he had what? Like one like really, really good week. And I know he's been consistent this year.
Yeah.
But Brian Harmon is not like a cream of the crop name. I mean, this team from Whistling Straits, they're losing they're 5-0 DJ. DJ yep. ain't going to be on the team. That's experience. That's an Hall of Fame player, not on the team. There's no JT. And no matter how much well, I shouldn't say there's no JT. There shouldn't not be yet. JT. But it's either A, there isn't going to be JT, which is an experienced Ryder Cupper, Hall of Famer one day, or there is a JT who is not playing good golf right now. So it's a lose-lose. But yeah, that's my bold take. I don't think it's switching before the end of next month. The U.S. isn't winning no matter who they take. The Europeans are hot and the United States players are not.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's very fair. I just want to look at I was going to go through the U.S. rankings really quickly, but, you know, if you look at Europe's team, the problem is with them is that there's still a lot of question marks, right? So you got guys like Bob McIntyre, looks like he's going to make the team, which good player, and obviously they're at home, so that helps a lot. But
you think Bob Mack's going to make the team?
Well, he's in on the points list right now.
That tells you what I know. He's in on the points?
Wow. He's in on the – I don't quite know how the European points work, but him, that's Rory, crazy. And Rahm are top three in X amount of points. Obviously, Fleetwood will be on the team. Hovland, Lowry, Hatton, those guys. And, look, good players, obviously.
Fits.
I mean, maybe if Marcel seems there, it might just be over before it starts. But, okay, so those are the European points. Got the world points over here. So Hovland, Hatton, Fleetwood, Fitzpatrick, Straka, Lowry – Justin Rose. Yeah, I think Robert McIntyre will make the team.
That's crazy.
Maronk, you know, so, and you may even see Padraig Harrington, because he's had some good major finishes here recently, but still plenty of like question marks surrounding those names. And you bring up fair points, right? Like Wyndham Clark, Brian Harmon are going into an away game, and it's their first Ryder Cup. I feel pretty good about both of them, to be honest. They both had really good major years. They played well at hard golf courses. I think they both have a kind of chip on their shoulder, right? Harmon was not the favorite at the Open. People were thinking he would choke, and then he decided to go hunt instead of be the hunted kind of mantra. And Rory was chasing down Wyndham Clark, and you know, Ricky was there, and Wyndham was not the fan favorite, and he still kind of pulled it off. So I think those guys are, I think they'll be better than maybe their name brand might just give them credit for. Obviously, Scheffler's on the team. Koepka's on the team. Schauffele and Cantlay, I think that's the only pair that seems to be kind of locked in stone right now, because those dudes just are pretty rock solid. I mean, you know, their backdoor T12s work out pretty well for them. I think Homa's on the team. He's been flushing it.
Yeah.
The interesting thing here is, like, because now you get into the maybes. I guess, like, Spieth's there. He's going to be on the team. I think Morikawa's on the team. Ricky Fowler's on the team. It's fair to say. Those guys. So that's 10 names right there that I think we feel pretty confident are on the team. But Cam Young, Keegan Bradley, Sam Burns, Justin Thomas, Denny McCarthy are kind of next up. And Cam Young's in the 8th spot on points. So, and he's only, he's less than 1,000 points behind Schauffele.
It's another great putter for the team.
Yeah, but if Cam Young wins, that would be something. But say Keegan Bradley picks off or has two really good weeks here and slides into one of those auto spots, or Cam Young gets two solo twos because he doesn't win, but that gets him up to 6th. And that knocks, say, Cantlay out. Well, you're picking Cantlay still, because he, even though he hasn't won, he's still a ball striker. He's experienced.
It's a pick gone, yeah.
But that's a pick gone from, you know, Justin Thomas or whoever it might be. And now Bryson just shot a 58, and he's had a good major season.
And what if Jay Spieth, you know, goes up into one of those 6?
Well, yeah. Well, but Jay Spieth was already kind of a pick. So he's a lock. He's a 95% lock right now. And if he became a lock, then there's, you know, somebody else would.
He's
just
a lock. He's a lock.
No, he's a lock. He's getting a pick. So if he got an auto pick, there would be a pick open anyway.
Maybe a lock due to lack of competition, but
yeah, fair enough. But like, I think Bryson could be worthy of a pick.
Yeah.
He's had a good major season, just out of 58. I'm curious. I don't have it really in front of me, but how many of these dudes have played in a way Ryder Cup? Scheffler hasn't. Clark hasn't. Harmon hasn't. Did Koepka play in 2019? Probably. Yeah, because he was winning
majors. The President's Cup?
No, the Ryder Cup at
like Golf National.
Yeah, so 2018. Did he play
I
there?
I feel like he was on that sure. team.
Yeah. Did Schauffele or Cantlay? Probably
no.
Nice. Probably
no.
not.
Right.
Xander might have, because he won East Lake.
No, he was not on that team.
Cantlay wasn't either.
Nope.
So far, only Koepka. Out of the
Koepka,
top 6,
Spieth.
Only Koepka has. Koepka, Spieth,
Rick,
Fowler, and Thomas. Obviously, yep. Thomas isn't on the team.
Bryson.
And Bryson, yeah. So that's the other, there's not a lot of experience of guys going over. And Speed talked about, oh, we got to win over there to make it count or whatever last time at Whistling Straits. This isn't the same team at all. Like,
no.
The U.S., and they don't make putts. Well, I guess I should say there's some of them that just never make a putt. And that is going to hurt you in match play, especially. I'm not saying go to Kevin Kisner, because that guy has played some awful golf. Or I don't think Denny McCarthy, like, is the answer to that. But I'm not sure the U.S. is ready for this. I really don't. Like, to your point, I think Europe is going to win. And it could get kind of ugly. And that sounds weird, because the U.S. has the way better names. But there's some dudes that just aren't playing that good of golf. And haven't had the experience before. So I brought this up, like, the other day, because I think Bryson should get a spot. JT is tough, but I think he could get a spot. If you're picking between JT and Cam Young, who are you taking? Like, you give
I'm
JT
taking Cam Young.
I mean, it's tough to say no to Cam Young, but like
they both can't putt, and Cam Young's the more consistent ball striker. So
yeah, but I think
I don't. I just don't think I can value that experience that much.
Okay, I mean, yeah, maybe that's fair. But it kind of made me jokingly bring up Phil Mickelson. Like, I don't know if they want him back in the team room, to be honest.
I don't think that's going to be happening, unfortunately.
But the experience, the kind of, like, willingness to take it, you know? It's almost like they should bring back Reed. Like, they should just bring a bunch of live guys and then just be like, all right, like, bring on your best stuff, Europe, because we've taken this for the past 18 months.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Phil's the guy. I mean, I don't think he's playing like that great of golf. I don't think Reed is either. But that's kind of why I want Bryson. I think Bryson and Brooks would be a great foursome.
I don't disagree.
Because they seem to like each other now. So,
yeah. No, they're both playing relatively good golf.
Because I think the other thing is, like, you have Xander and Cantlay, obviously. Bryson, I like Bryson Brooks. But there's just not a lot of, like, obvious pairings here. I kind of like Scotty and Colin, which foursomes are foursomes might be tough because none of them can putt. But I feel like Morikawa shows up when he needs to, and Scheffler kind of the same thing. And those, because those guys are both tailor-made. And then I kind of like Ricky with somebody.
Spieth.
No, I don't think Spieth, playing with? I don't think Spieth deserves a foursome spot. To be honest,
I mean, I think that's fair.
I think their best eight for foursomes are Xander, Cantlay, Bryson, Brooks, Scotty, Colin, Fowler, Homa. And then I think
Brooks, Bryson the nod over Spieth. I don't know if I can do
I
that.
I would.
I know. I don't know if I can do that though.
And then you've got Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman.
Leave the two major champions on the bench.
Well, for foursomes, it's their first. I don't think you want to throw them out Friday morning.
Jordan Spieth,
and then whoever that final.
If you want me to be honest, I would throw.
Or you could go Spieth, Homa.
I'd probably throw both of them over Spieth and Ricky. I would do that, but yeah.
Or like, yeah. And then whoever that last spot is, I guess. But I kind of like starting those guys in a four ball.
That's
like
right.
I'd rather, because then you just make birdies, you play your own ball. Because I don't think anybody really wants to hit from Brian Harman's tee shots.
Scotty. Scotty would.
I guess Scotty, it wouldn't matter because he'd throw it to 10 feet and Harman would, you know, make the putt.
Every 200 plus yard shot to 15.
So that
feet.
Could work. Yep. And then, but like, I think. I'd rather just have Wyndham Clark go try and make nine birdies than do too much the first day. But I mean, we'll see. It's interesting to see how it'll all play out. Cause it kind of seems like Bryson has snuck his way in there. Maybe Bryson doesn't even get a spot, but I think that'd be at this point, anytime you shoot a 58, that's kind of crazy. He's played better in the majors than some of these dudes. So it's like.
It's a good litmus test, for sure.
You know, why not? He's got experience. I think he slides in well with Brooks or Phil in a four ball. That'd be fun. But plenty more Ryder Cup talk to come. Plenty more schedule talk to come. Hopefully a live pod on Sunday. Highly doubt it. Don't clear your schedule too much for Sunday. But who knows? Maybe Jay Spieth has something up his sleeve underneath that AT&T logo. So, any other thoughts on this week or the playoffs or anything golf-related or non-golf-related?
Nothing. I know yesterday we were a month away from the NFL season starting, which is awesome.
Yes. So we're 7 weeks away from M. Jones leading the MVP.
Oh, man. I might get into that, but no, back to golf. I don't want to talk about Mac Jones. No, I kind of said it earlier. I'm done with this year. It's kind of another year down the toilet, to be quite honest with you.
What if he wins?
Then it's a better season, but it's still not. I mean, it's eight straight majors with no contention.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, I think all three of us kind of fell in love with Jordan because, you know, come out at 21 years old, you contend to the major championships, and he just hasn't done that as of late. But if he did win, it would be much better. I mean, I was thinking, I've been thinking about this. Like right now, I probably have the season at like a D. Oh. If he were to win, I think it gets up to like a B minus or a B.
Okay. Maybe.
I'd say a B minus. Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, as much as I don't love the playoffs, winning this event would be nice. I've talked about in the past, Jordan.
That's a good win.
Jordan, oddly, he's won three majors, but the other wins have not really been like big events, which is very weird. Like he never played good in the WGCs usually. Very weird. Like he won the majors, but he didn't win like any other big events. So this would be a big win. Again, the hope, I mean, expectations are quite low.
Yes.
But yeah, I gladly would take a win. I'd assume it'd get him back inside the top 10 in the world, and it would give him a fighting chance at East Lake in a couple weeks. So, I mean, that would be fun, but just a respectable performance would be nice. I don't want to miss East Lake. So
yeah, I'd agree. It'd be nice if he got into like the 20, you know,
yeah,
late teens, 20 range and be like, all right, I'm pretty sure I'm making it to East Lake. This season's you said a D or a D minus?
I would have it at a D.
Okay. I think I agree. I think I might go D plus or maybe I thought about C minus, but
no, he's not passing for me.
I think it's a D plus because there's a couple close calls, and to be fair, lost in a playoff, and if he just hits a putt half an inch harder, he's a winner, and this season's a C plus. But
you're,
I think the
wrong.
Expectations
yeah.
are a lot higher. So no, relative to expectations is the D minus. But
yeah,
to kind of the baseline he's set for himself the past 2 years, it's kind of a C minus season, D plus season.
Yeah. No,
it's right on the edge of passing. We'll judge that. If he makes East Lake, I think you have to give him a passing season, but it's not a good one.
I mean, true. My goal at the beginning of the year, one of my goals is always to make East Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly not on the damn number.
That'd be
bad. No, you can't do what he's done, which is play good for 6 weeks and then shit it up the rest of the year.
Yeah.
The only thing that would change my grade, and we'll obviously get into this after East Lake, we're getting ahead here. But if we get any news that, you know, maybe the wrist had anything to do with it, I'm trying to give him some benefit of the doubt because I talk so poorly about him. But, you know, if I heard that, you know, this wrist, because, I mean, if we do look at his stats and we look at the I mean, it went downhill after the Heritage. He got the wrist injury. It's been bad ever since. Was it more because he was changing his wrist, changing his swing, or was it the wrist? I think it's definitely probably more the swing. But if we found out this wrist was worse than, you know, and he was playing through it, I'd probably give him a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. But
yeah. That's fair enough, but we shall see how this week goes. It starts Thursday, 11:56 a.m. Well, I guess some guys are off at like 10 or something a.m. Eastern, but until then, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Take care.
Peace.